You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Which of the revenge games are you most looking forward to this year, Swaggo?
Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. We got a quarterback and a head coach who are the same damn age that's about to play against each other. This is the matchup that dreams are made of.
The same age about to play against each other. I love it. Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen, and for Bart and Hahn today, ESPN Radio, as always, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline to talk about the Patriots and Bucks. That's where we go right now. We welcome in on the Goodyear Hotline Teddy Bruschi, ESPN NFL analyst. And Teddy, right away with the Patriots and the Bucks and that coming out in week four, just curious as to who do you think had that circled quicker when they knew they were playing each other earlier, you know, back at the end of the year, Brady or Belichick?
Well, hey, guys, how you doing? Thanks for having me on. I would say it would have been Tom. I mean, based on, you know, knowing him and the emotional sort of creature that he is, because, I mean, as cool and calm and collected as he seems at press conference and all of that, this is a very emotional guy. And his exit from New England and then, of course, winning a championship with Tampa Bay, I mean, he wants to go back and, I don't know, score 30, 40, 50 points. That's just the way he thinks. I mean, with Bill, I'm sure he saw it as, hey, guys, September's like an extension of the preseason. We're just getting ready for the long run. But, I mean, he's a lot less emotional than Tom. So I would say Brady knew he was coming back this year eventually. And, you know, finding out it's week four, yeah, he's looking forward to that one.
You know, let's pretend you're in the position that like a Dante Hightower or a Devin McCourty, Stephon Gilmore, right? Like, I'm not saying one of the new guys on defense. I mean a guy that has really been a Patriot for a while. You're Teddy Bruschi. You're in that defensive room, and Tom Brady is now coming back to play against you. What are the emotions? What's the week like leading up to it? Like, how, especially you have a unique relationship, I'm sure, with Tom, having gone through the wards with him. How would you handle it? How do you think these guys are going to handle it?
I mean, based on how competitive it got in practices with the offense and defense, I mean, now you can just multiply that by like 100 now that's in a game, because as competitive as Tom seems on the field, I mean, during a game, I mean, it's that much more intense when he knows the guys. I mean, during practices and even, you know, my defenses were going up against him, it got pretty heated. So, I mean, defensively, they're going to talk in that weight room, in that meeting room, fellas, like, he can't do this to us. Not here. No. They'll remember the competitive situations, and it's going to be fun to go out there, and it's like you're playing your brother on the other side. I mean, he was there for two decades, and for a lot of these players, for all of their careers except for 1 year. So it's like flashbacks for them. So competitively, they will want to beat him, and they will look forward to the game plan. I'm sure it's going to be of getting pressure up the pocket right up the middle and getting him out and chasing him down, because they'll joke around about him being slow and all that stuff. But it's going to be fun for them. But definitely, they don't want him to come in there and beat him in Gillette Stadium.
Teddy Bruschi, ESPN NFL analyst, joining Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen in for Barton Hahn. Here on ESPN Radio, he's with us on the Goodyear Hotline. If you're in this situation, we know how many playmakers Tom has on offense, but just in general, Teddy, would you rather have Tom on your side or would you rather have Bill on your side?
In terms of, like, the teams? What do you get?
In terms of those two as the primary guys going up against one another, Bill trying to figure out a way to stop Tom, and Tom trying to attack a Bill defense?
You know, that's a hard question, because they know each other so well. I mean, Tom knows what the plan's going to be. I mean, he's been in the Wednesday meetings, the Thursday meetings, because every team meeting, Bill will go over and encapsulate the defensive game plan and the offensive game plan, and he'll talk about the quarterback and how they want to attack the quarterback in front of the whole team in like a three-step way. So Tom knows what the various plan, what the plan is going to be, but I would say Bill, the plan of the entire offense, defense, and special teams in terms of game planning, I would lean toward the Belichick side of it, because I think he is just he's in every aspect of the game. So that type of plan I would favor towards, but Tom knows defensively what the Patriots are going to go and what they're going to do.
Yeah, if Tom knows what's coming. And Bill knows Tom knows what's coming. And you're in that defensive room, right? I mean, these guys have played
I
that know, chess game, right?
And you know, but I know you know. But what you don't know is what I know.
Right. So, like, I remember talking one time to a defensive coordinator in college about Jimbo Fisher, just to bring up a parallel. And he said, look, here's where Jimbo Fisher is really good as a play caller. There's three kinds of coordinators. The bad kind watches the tape on Sunday and says, oh, I see what they were doing. I'm going to get them next time. The mediocre coordinator at halftime says, hey, guys, we saw what they were doing in the first half. Here's our adjustment. The good coordinator sees what they're doing on the opening drive and it said, oh, that's how you're going to play me? Okay, here comes this. You have to be ready with your counter to their counter, knowing he's going to counter, you got to counter back. So I'm saying you're with Bill getting ready for this game. How many different checks are there? How many different defensive game plans are there in place, layers to it, when you're saying going in, Tom's going to know what we're going to do?
Yeah, it's endless, because like you said, after the first series, the adjustment then will come. And then you'll take steps off of that in terms of how the Buccaneer offense would then react to that. So it's always fluid, and the direction will always change based on how Bill Belichick, his game plan is formed. So it's fluid and how it can change. So that's just the way it always has been with Bill Belichick coach defenses. I think one of the things is this: the success in that game will be if Bill can take the emotion out of his players going against Tom Brady.
Oh, good
luck. Because they will be absolutely
right.
Emotionally fired up to go get him. And those defensive players, we as defensive players, we're just wired different anyway, and we've got a little more screws loose than those on the offensive side. So they may go crazy. So him keeping them calm and say, listen, yes, it's not Tom Brady this week. Try to see it as an opponent. And there's the quarterback, and these are our goals.
I'm trying to picture somebody.
That's going to be hardest for him to do.
I'm trying to picture somebody telling Teddy Bruschi, hey, be calm this week. You're going to go play Tom Brady, it's fine, but be calm. Just take a deep breath. It's fine. Like, how fast would you walk out of the room going, that guy's got no chance. I am way too amped up.
Teddy, you're at a 10. Yeah, take it down to about a 7.
Come on.
Yeah, it's never coming down.
Right.
Yeah, sorry, Coach.
Teddy, one last one on this game. Will this really affect the Belichick legacy when you already look at Brady winning a Super Bowl without him, if this is a game that he can't win?
Legacy as a whole, probably not. But the whole thing of, who after the move, who had the most success, a victory would help him. You know what I mean? In terms of head-to-head, Tom got a championship, but at least Bill got the victory when they met head-to-head. He knew him that well. But there isn't really a way, in my opinion, for Bill to, equal. Unless he wins a championship, but Tom left the first year during a pandemic and still helped form a championship team. That's something that can just never be taken away from Tom, or it would be very difficult to match if you're Bill Belichick as a head coach, because you lost the player and the player showed that he had a lot more left. That's just kudos to Tom Brady.
Yeah. Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen in for Barton Hahn here on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, talking to the great Teddy Bruschi, NFL analyst now as a whole for ESPN, not just a Patriot analyst. Teddy, you look at this league as a whole. When the rest of the schedule came out, anything jump out at you yesterday that surprised you?
Well, I'm always looking for, teams, like, when will they have a moment possibly to, like, show the league or send a message? And if I were to take, like, the first 3-4 games out, I think it's week 5 when the Bills are at the Chiefs.
Yes.
And I think the Bills, there's a step-by-step process, like, okay, you got the quarterback in Josh Allen. You achieved a little bit of respectability. Okay, you sort of teased everyone that you could possibly be a team that reaches Super Bowl. So there you're there. Right at that point where you're sort of in limbo, are you a good team and you're going to take a next step, or do you just fall off by the wayside and then the dominant teams like, you know, the Chiefs? I mean, there's still the eighth class of the AFC. What will you do in that game to show, like, no, we're ready to take the next step? That's those type of games. So Bills, Chiefs, I think it's week five. You know, I'm looking forward to one like that.
Teddy, when you are a player and the schedule comes out, how do you look at it? Do you make sure, I got to see who we're playing when? Or does any of that really matter to the player?
It depends on what team you're on. I mean, from my personal experience playing for the Patriots, I did in terms of when did we play Miami. Because Miami, South Florida in September, it's brutal. Okay, and being from New England and going down there into that heat, you always wanted to know when it was. If it was a December game, you felt better about it. But, of course, I'm sure Miami looked at if they came up to New England in December because it gets cold and we have the home field advantage then. So whether you sort of looked at that, when your Thursday game was important. When your bye was important. So those type of things. But definitely, when were we in South Beach? Was it in the hotter months of September? Was something I checked for.
And Bart has always said, South Beach is undefeated in 1 o'clock games.
Yeah.
For the teams going out the night before.
Especially, you know, when they had that old baseball field back there. Oh, it was so hot on that field, I'll tell you, fellas.
And you know, you come from that Parcells tree because you played for Belichick. I remember when Parcells first started coaching the Jets. We found out where we're going to stay in Miami. We stayed like 20 miles north of West Palm, right? Like, those guys don't want you anywhere near South Beach the night before a game.
Yeah, that too. And we tried everything. I mean, do you go down 2 days early to acclimate to the heat? Didn't work. Still got beat. I mean, it's just there are certain home field advantages, and South Beach in September is real.
Hey, last one for me, Teddy, real quick. West Coast trips. I mean, if you've got one of those years where you know, all right, we play the NFC West and maybe the AFC West this year, those are our cycle through divisions. If you know ahead of time, hey, we're going to have to make 4 West Coast trips, we know months in advance, we just don't know where they're going to be, or are you looking at the schedule to see, all right, you know, how do we have to go out west, how often and when?
Yeah, especially, well, which you'll also check with that, you're definitely right, is what time's the game.
Right.
So if it's a prime time game, say West Coast, and if you're an AFC opponent, you go out there and play the Broncos in a Monday night football game, you know you're not getting back to the East Coast probably till 6 a.m., and your clock is way off, and your recuperation is way off. So going forward with that into the next Sunday game, depending on, I mean, if you're a 13, 14-year vet, that's going to put you back a day and a half in terms of recuperation. That's what you check for, too.
Teddy, awesome stuff. Appreciate the insight. Thanks for a few minutes.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Teddy.
That's Teddy Bruschi giving us the Straight Talk. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Joining us via the Goodyear Hotline, Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen for Barton Hunt. Let's shift to some NBA from last night.
Sure.
And the Lakers. We've spent an awful lot of time discussing them trying to find their way out of the play-in round and getting into the 6th seed because it would be so advantageous to get the extra rest and a matchup with the Clippers as opposed to playing those extra games. Last night, they go out and they win, and they do it without LeBron, and they do it without AD, and you have Portland winning, and here's the situation. The Lakers need the games, and obviously Dallas and Portland, if they both win one, the Lakers can't do anything about it. Those two teams would then shut the Lakers out of getting into the 6th seed. Do the Lakers care right now to you about getting into the top 6?
No, they said last night through their actions they don't care. Right? We're sitting here talking about what they have to do, who they have to hold off, how many games they have to win. Their actions tell you they don't care. The Nets' actions this season have told you they don't care. They're going to play their guys piecemeal in whatever way they need to, or they're going to rest their guys whenever they need to have them healthy for the playoffs. The message that has been sent loud and clear by the two betting favorites in the two respective conferences is we don't care where we finish.
Well, in case you didn't catch it, this was Tim Legler who joined us yesterday on how the Lakers should be handling this.
Yeah, I think you play them. I think you push them. I think you try to avoid it at all costs, because if you can avoid the play-in and you get to a spot where you now can like take a deep breath knowing that you are going to start off with a seven-game series, it's almost like a prize fight where you say, you know, a certain fighter, if you can just avoid getting knocked out by a haymaker early, then as the fight goes on, you're just going to get stronger. That's who the Lakers are.
You know, what's interesting about it, though, is that Portland, while they have played well, and I think they've won five in a row, if I'm not mistaken, they also have Phoenix left. They have Denver left.
Yep.
Now, Denver probably isn't going to have much to play for. And then you look at Dallas, and they've got Minnesota and Toronto. Like, it's hard to imagine the Lakers being able to find their way into that six seed, even though I do think it's important. Bob, I honestly think...
They don't think it's important.
But I think they do.
If they thought it was important, then LeBron would have played last night.
I get what you're saying, but...
And I'm not playing the result. They decided to sit LeBron. It's not like they sat him. He was in uniform, and they said, all right, this game is going well. We could put him in if we wanted to. He was in street
maybe
clothes.
Maybe he just couldn't play. Is that possible, that LeBron just couldn't play last night?
I don't know.
And AD, who said the night before that he was hurting after the game, that he just couldn't play. Maybe the Lakers are just in that spot, because knowing who we are dealing with and their health issues, wouldn't they put that at the forefront of importance if they could?
If last night was game one, Lakers-Jazz, you think LeBron is in street clothes?
I think last night,
You know the answer to that question. It's a rhetorical question. I'm going to ask it to you again anyway. If this is Jazz Lakers last night, game one in Utah, LeBron and AD are in street clothes.
LeBron would not have played last night.
Of course he would have played. Game one against the Jazz in the playoffs?
That's what I said. Conference finals. He and AD aren't playing last night? No, hang on a second. Now we're changing it all around. It wasn't first round. It was conference finals.
You know what? I won't put a caveat on it. First round.
Yeah.
First round. LeBron and AD are in street clothes last night if they're playing the Jazz.
They understand they need this time off.
You are out of your mind.
They understand they need this time off.
You're out of your mind if you think that they're sitting last night. It's game one of a seven-game series.
Why do you think when you have a high ankle sprain, which is something that you need the most rest time for,
okay,
and you have Anthony Davis, who had tendinosis, which is something that doesn't go away right away during the season, and a bad back, which we know could blow up at any point, why do you think that they would not play last night if they could, knowing they would get an extra week off if they get to that spot?
Because they don't care about the play-in. They think they can win the play-in without LeBron and AD. They believe they get to the play-in. They'll probably only have to play one game, right? I mean,
Now they're playing without LeBron and AD in the play-in.
Well, Steph could shoot them into that second game.
Right.
That's possible.
Right.
But they're probably not
going to lose the second game.
They're probably playing the percentages that even if we lost to the Warriors in game one, we're not losing to Memphis or San Antonio in game two of the play-in. I'm telling you right now, the moment that it gets to the point, and obviously it would be there, game one of a seven-game series against a Utah, against a Phoenix, against the Clippers, whoever they ultimately end up playing in the first round, game one of that series, LeBron James and Anthony Davis will be suited up. They will be dressed for that game.
If that game was last night.
Yes, they would have been dressed.
Which it was not.
1,000% they would have played last night. 1,000%.
I think you're overestimating their ability to play right now. Because if they could have last night, they
LeBron
would have been out there.
LeBron was listed as probable against the Knicks three days ago.
I understand.
And decided
that.
To sit out.
And if they sit out and they're in the play-in and they end up playing the Jazz in round one, they are going to rue the day that they did that. Because this is why I'm fully, fully betting against the Lakers this year. Because last night would tell me that their health is nowhere near where it needs to be.
All right, betting against them is one thing. Thinking they're not playing once they get to a seven-game series against
well, you
the
had
top
it starting
of the conference
last night. Now, right now, they have another week or a week and a half to get ready for that, and they're going to have to play two more games in between.
And what I'm saying is, this is just follows the theme all the way through the season of how NBA players. Now, LeBron doesn't do load management. That's the one thing I would say about him. And I don't think Anthony Davis does either. But this follows the theme of the NBA, and to me, it's a terrible theme. They are constantly sending the message to we, the fans, that the regular season doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We don't really care where we finish. Utah, Phoenix seems to matter to them. Does not matter to the Lakers. And regardless of how many games the Nets win, we've already been shown by the Nets, they don't really care about the regular season. The whole point is to get those guys as healthy as they can be for the playoffs. And they actually, I think, look at their first round playoff series as Kyrie, KD, James Harden training camp.
And they're going to end up paying for it. Both of them. You watch.
Maybe.
On the way, we were reminded yesterday of what it looks like when you have one of the more epic falls of a great superstar and the attempt to come back after it. We discuss in moments. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. Bob here to tell you about Home Depot.
And installing brand new carpets shouldn't mean putting your life on hold. Enjoy a simplified installation experience at the Home Depot by licensed local professionals with an unbeatable selection of affordable styles, colors, and fabrics that are durable and low maintenance, including options that are odor and stain resistant. Right now, you can get your carpet installed for free. Get started today at the Home Depot. Free carpet installation on purchases of $699 or more. No square foot minimum. Excludes in-stock styles. U.S. only. See store for details. What Chris just said we're going to talk about, it's very intriguing. We'll talk about it when we come back. 888-SAY-ESPN, ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
Still not thrilled that you're saying I come in grumpy today. I came in, I was listening to Dua Lipa right nearby, put me in a great mood.
I don't think you came in grumpy. I think you are grumpy.
No, I'm not.
You're a little bit.
I'm not grumpy.
Okay.
I'm not grumpy. I am what you would call a realist.
You're jolly.
I'm an optimistic realist.
Yeah, that's Chris Carlin.
And, oh, jolly.
I'm Bob Wischusen. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
And it's presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. You know what it's time for, audiophiles. Yesterday at Citi Field was a reminder of somebody who was once great and unfortunately, nowhere near what he used to be. And that was Matt Harvey, who got an incredibly warm ovation from the Citi Field faithful. And, of course, we remember Harvey Day and what he was all about in his early days with the Mets and how it was a spectacle. Well, obviously, things have taken a turn. He's with the Orioles now. And here was Matt after the game reacting to the reception, a very warm one, three standing ovations he got from Met fans.
There was a lot of excitement, a lot of memories. I wasn't, obviously there's been so many ups and downs here at this ballpark and with this organization that, I didn't really know what to expect, and what they gave me, what the fans gave me out there was pretty incredible. And I was holding back tears. I'm not going to lie about that. It was pretty hard holding them back, and reminded me of, you know, a lot of the good memories and coming off the field with, you know, an ovation like that. It brought a lot back, and it was very special to me. Something I'll never forget.
Bob, I was around that team a lot when Harvey hadn't even come up yet and had interviewed a couple times going when he was in the minors. Yep. And coming up. This is a much different guy right now, and that was a very real thing, that Harvey Day, the amazing energy that was around it every time he pitched. It was similar to what Doc Gooden was for the Mets back in the 80s. When you think about Matt Harvey and you think about fall-offs as far as superstar players, who do you think about? Who comes to your mind on that level?
Yeah, I mean, just in thinking about that soundbite, though, if that Matt Harvey, the Matt Harvey of today, that kind of mature, introspective Matt Harvey, if you coupled today's Matt Harvey between the ears with the talent that he was when he first came up with the Mets, he'd probably still be a 1-2 punch with Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think the problem, though, was that Matt needed that fall off to get that perspective.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, for some people, that's the case.
Yeah, the only guy I can think of right now the Yankees are going through with Gary Sanchez. You know, and they're still fighting through it with Gary Sanchez. They haven't given up on Gary Sanchez, even though you can make an argument Kyle Higashioka makes them a better team when he catches than when Gary Sanchez catches.
The guy that I would equate with it, not for all the same reasons, but would be Daryl Strawberry. You know, Straw fell off again.
Yeah, that's a different.
The drugs not aside. I mean, that, but in terms of,
you could have Doc and Daryl in that conversation.
Yeah, you absolutely could. But the fall off there, it was absolutely awful. But they became different players. Straw still had great power and was a part of some winning teams with the Yankees. And Doc, obviously, we saw later throw a no hitter, but he wasn't the old Doc, that's for sure. Then there was Gerrit Cole last night against the Rays, who was absolutely brilliant in every way with 8 shutout innings. Aaron Boone enjoyed the heck out of watching.
He's so good and so fun to watch and so versatile out there and able to, you know, get you out in so many different ways. You know, he was very pitch efficient early on there. Anytime he did lose leverage in a count, got behind, he made big pitches, maybe made one mistake to a Rosarena for the double that, you know, fortunately stayed in. You know, he leaned on every pitch in different ways and different times and was creative in getting guys out. And it was just a lot of fun to watch him operate tonight and really, really dominate.
You know, there's another layer to what Gerrit Cole's doing right now that I don't think we're spending enough time talking about. And I heard Michael Kay say this last night, and he's 1,000% right calling the game. The Yankees brought Gerrit Cole here to be that guy, right? And he is being that guy. Right, the unquestioned, no doubt about it, shutdown ace that is going to go out there every day and is going to give you exactly what you expect for the $341 million or whatever that they're paying him to be that guy. And as I'm watching him, all I can think of is watching over now that the money has gone to a stratospheric level in baseball, how many guys have been brought to New York to be that guy and have gotten booed? Because when they first got here, they were not that guy. I mean, going back to Mike Piazza getting booed by Met fans. Randy Johnson got booed. Roger Clemens got booed. You know, Francisco Lindor right now is getting booed. So many guys that are on this Gerrit Cole level come to New York. And I know people around the country to hear me say this be like, oh, this is one of those New York things. Yeah, you know what? It is. Because we have seen legendary players. Like Roger Clemens and Randy Johnson are Mount Rushmore Hall of Fame level pitchers. They came to New York and were absolutely affected by it and pressed for a while and weren't that good and got booed. Now, ultimately, when you're a player like a Lindor or a Piazza or a Giancarlo Stanton, your talent level is going to come out. A-Rod got booed to the hilt, won MVPs. But you can see when those guys on the huge money contracts come to New York, they press.
Yeah.
And sometimes they fail. And sometimes they get booed. Gerrit Cole is doing this with all of this on his shoulders. He seems to be totally unaffected by the fact that he's in New York with that uniform on and all these expectations. I don't think that's getting talked about enough with him.
And you look at last year, it basically every 5 days, it was just kind of a blip on the screen because of how the rest of the rotation wasn't very good. maybe you're noticing it and appreciating it more right now because the other guys are pretty good. And you're like, wow, okay, you're not just relying on that one game every week. Now you really get to sit and appreciate his brilliance as opposed to just counting on that win.
Because he's not ours.
Trying to get to the next game.
Really, he's not ours. He came from somewhere else. A-Rod wasn't ours. Jeter was. DeGrom is ours. Piazza was. Now, Piazza became an all-time, lifetime, soft spot in the heart Met. He wasn't when he first got here.
No.
Those guys get booed. Gerrit Cole could have easily been booed off the mound if he came here and struggled. He's just been lights out, has taken that on his shoulders, all these expectations. He's just unaffected by it.
James Harden back for the Nets last night. Thrilled to be back on the floor.
I didn't know. This is my longest I've been without playing basketball. So just I didn't know how, especially coming off the bench, not playing the first quarter, and then having to stay warm and do all the things necessary to go out there and be my best. And I just had to go out there and just play with confidence and do what I do and not think about anything. And it took me a little bit, but, it's just basketball at the end of the day and something that I love doing.
Did it take him a little bit? Because it kind of didn't look like it. No. He looked like James Harden of old.
I mean, basically watching him play last night gives you every belief that exactly what you think the Nets formula is going to be is going to work out. We don't need these guys to play at all together during the regular season. They'll go through an opening round series where it's like training camp and they'll be fine.
Nets going to the finals?
Yeah. Like we said yesterday, if you gave me the Lakers and the Nets or the field, I'll take the talent.
Well,
and those two teams have the talent.
James seems to agree and doesn't think that anybody can beat them if they are firing on all
cylinders. We can't be the pretty, shot-making, easy-going team that we've been. We gotta get dirty a little bit. We got to get gritty. And like I said, it's going to be pretty tough to beat us just because if we're showing how physical we are and we're making shots, it's like, what can you do?
Well, I don't really anticipate the Nets becoming this gritty team. I know what he's trying to say, but they are that team that he has talked about because this is all they have done when they have played together is be that shot-making team. This is why I think the first time around, we saw it in Miami with the big three with LeBron, Wade, and Chris Bosh, and win that first year. And this team has barely played together. I don't see it with the Nets. I know. I'm not denying the talent.
The final last night was 128-116 without Kyrie. And that's what they're thinking the playoffs are going to be. We will score 130, and we're betting even if we're bad on defense, you can't score more than your 122. That's the way they're going to try and win.
888-729-3776. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. A chance for you to get your thoughts on the NFL schedule in and also your opportunity on the NBA playoffs as they are starting to really come down to the form that we expect to see them in come next week. If that makes any sense.
Not really, but
not
that's
really.
Okay.
Good point. And by the way, what you do need to know about the Lakers and the Warriors, if they are to face off in that play-in game, it's next. Chris and Bob in for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Hahn.
No, you won't. No.
Oh, I got this. You sure?
Yeah.
You sure?
I am so unbelievably sure.
Oh.
They never play fish on this show. It yeah, hurts me.
There's
it
a reason.
Wounds me.
There's a reason. It stinks. Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen in for Barton Hahn. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus is coming to you live from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Let's hit some calls at 888-729-3776. Robert in Virginia is up first this segment on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Robert, what's up, bud?
I just wanted to refer to the New England Tampa Bay game.
Yeah.
And I promise you that Belichick will not make it a big deal. He'll be totally professional, and he'll probably refer to the guy as the quarterback, and it'll be a bad execution. He's as old school as it gets.
You know what? He will do that in the press conference. He will not give the media one nibble of a nugget that week. But I'm telling you, behind closed doors, he will talk about this with his team. Like, he does talk about that kind of stuff behind closed doors with his guys if there's a reason to talk about a motivation factor.
I can't imagine even Bill would call Tom Brady the quarterback.
Yeah, and you know what? Do you really think he even has to talk to his guys about it that week?
No.
Like, what do you have to say to get your guys fired up for Tom Brady coming in for a revenge game or for
frankly,
a reunion
game
or
whatever?
If
you have to, that might be a little bit alarming. More
he won't
than
have
anything.
To talk about it.
Donovan's in Virginia next on Barton Hahn. Donovan, what's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. How about yourself, man?
Good. What do you got?
Hey, I think the game of the year, in my opinion, is going to be the Raiders versus the Cowboys. I'm a Raiders fan, right? And I'm not looking for, you know, I know it's going to be a high-scoring game, but it's like Stephen A. Smith said, the accident waiting to happen. And what better way to start that accident on Thanksgiving with my Raiders coming in a big D on Jerry Vision, putting up 41, man. All right? Derek Carr had a post-game interview eating that turkey leg on the big screen, man. That's all I got, man.
Well, you're right about the Raiders being able to score some points on the Cowboys defense, which I still do not believe in. However, it may be the biggest game of the year for the Raiders. Otherwise, it's a game. It's not the best of them all. Cody in Kansas next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Cody, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
Great.
For one, I'm from Kansas, but I'm a Broncos fan, and I hope we get Aaron Rodgers.
Well,
but
I would think
so. The question I had is the teams that have the three-game road trips, why cannot they not stay in the next town or that town and practice at a college stadium?
Sometimes they
stay
do.
In motels, so they're not.
Not only do they do that sometimes they ask for that.
Yeah.
You will get a team that when they realize, all right, so we're an East Coast team. We're the Eagles. And this year we have to go to Seattle, to Las Vegas, to LA, and to San Francisco. Just, you know, pick four names out of a hat. And it sprinkles through the season. They will ask the NFL, can you give us Seattle, San Francisco back-to-back? And then they'll stay there. They'll stay out there for the week. That happens all the time. And the teams will, and the NFL will try and accommodate. They will try, if they can, to do that team a solid and say, all right, four West Coast trips is a lot. We'll give you two of them back-to-back, and you go find, you know, a community college or something, and you spend 4 or 5 days there practicing, and you don't do the back-and-forth. Teams will do that. Now, COVID presented a problem last year for teams to do that. They, you know, that wasn't nearly as prevalent, but it is something that's pretty common.
All right, Lakers need to win out. Portland and Dallas just need to win one game of each of them to keep the Lakers out, but the Lakers need to win out and need help. Will the Lakers get out of the play-in?
No, they'll be in the play-in. And part of the reason they're going to be in the play-in is because they don't seem to care themselves whether they end up in it or not.
Okay, I don't buy that for a second, but they will be in the play-in. You're right about that. Knicks probably have to win all three games to get into the 4-5 series.
Yep.
Miami, Atlanta sitting there in front of them, but the tiebreaker, if it's a three-way tie, Knicks don't have it. What ends up happening here? Knicks into 6, 4, or 5?
I'm going to roll with the Knicks and say that they're going to find a way to get into that 4-5 series.
I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah, I think they're going to do it. I do.
I actually do, too. I think San Antonio, Charlotte, Boston, those are three very beatable teams at this juncture of the year. Absolutely. Boston's a complete mess, even though they like to stick it to the Knicks. It's Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen. We've enjoyed filling in for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.